Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October. Nope, it's November now, isn't it? All day long. November.
All day long. 4th. All month long.
All month. Oh, right. Leap year, of course. Anyhow, it's November 4th, 2014. Wow. It's 2014, and clearly I have a speech impediment today. I'm Jeff Gamet, and I'll get that fixed. I'll get like a new tongue installed or something. And that voice you heard so courageously helping me through the intro today was Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm John Martellaro, extraordinarily awesome person.
That's awesome. And the avatar to go along with that name happens to be here as well.
And I am Brian Chaffin. Happy to be with you guys this morning.
Boy, we're just going to confuse everybody.
It's too late for me. Save yourselves.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today.
And excellent.
Yeah, nice. I know. That would be Smile and their Text Expander Touch 3 application for the iPhone and iPad. And yeah, this is an awesome little application that I'm relying on all the time. It lets you take your things that you need to type all the time and convert them down into little shortcuts. And when you type whatever that abbreviation is, they expand automatically into whatever it is that you wanted them to be in the first place, saving you typing, making sure that you're always accurate. It's a beautiful thing.
You can also like set them up too so that they like grab things out of your clipboard, right?
Yes, you can. And you can have the same snippets on your iPhone, iPad, and Mac, which is...
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing. And it has a built-in system-wide keyboard option available in multiple languages, which is beautiful as well. So what that means is that on your iPhone or iPad, you can use Text Expander in every application that gives you a keyboard.
Hmm. Awesome.
Yes. What I love about them in particular is that they're sponsoring the show, which means that helps pay the bills. They're a good company. You should check them out.
Yes, check them out. And if you're worried about that data that you're sharing between all of your devices being private, don't worry. They've got that covered too. It's an awesome thing.
Keeps the interns from having to pay us.
Why, yes, it does.
Don't say that too loud. we've got actual interns over here.
And we didn't, we don't want them to know.
Stop. Just move along.
So I will have a link to Text Expander Touch 3 in the show notes. And thank you so much to Smile for sponsoring us, because you guys rock. And so the topic that I wanted to jump into today is actually, it's your review, John, of iTunes 12.
Yes.
We've talked about
12, the best thing that Apple's ever done, right?
You know, I have some notes here for a preamble, and I just wanted to just get this off my chest. iTunes is a window to my music. My music is sacred. iTunes 12 doesn't respect that. It's terrible.
Terrible. It's terrible, you say. I hear tell that you said it was the worst software that Apple's ever made.
Kelly and Jeff and I had a discussion about that, and we couldn't think of any app that had a worse user interface. I'm actually offended. I mean, I'm personally offended that the company that I used to work for and that I so admire inflicts software that is so joyless, so barren, so stark, so confusing, so counterintuitive. What's happening with Apple? This is very bad user interface, very bad design, very bad software. And I called them on it, and I think it should be withdrawn from the market. It's that bad.
Well, some of the things that you talked about that I thought were really important philosophical issues is the fact that we've got both inconsistency and lack of clarity in iTunes 12.
Yeah, and I think part of it went to this business of trying to expunge the skeuomorphism. It almost seems to me, you know, I don't want to be irreverent or trite, but it almost seems like Johnny Ive came in one day and said, lose the skeuomorphism, and everybody went, yes, sir. And then they went about the business creating a stark, flat, ugly, confusing interface I mentioned in the review that there's no reason why the elimination of skeuomorphism should necessitate an impoverished interface.
It's true. It's to a certain extent, it's like Apple is cutting off its nose to spite its skeuomorphic face.
You know, it feels to me like Apple designed iTunes 12 to favor iTunes Radio over our personal music collections.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things I noticed in the review was that there are pieces of it that stand alone. And, you know, it's like you have these submodules. And as soon as you switch over to iTunes Radio, everything's cool. Everything works the way it did before, right? You may have something there.
Well, one of the big things that I don't understand, and this started with iTunes 11, when Apple took away the sidebar by default. And
which really annoyed me.
It is really annoying because, you know, the sidebar, we all know that Apple is a company that is willing to ditch anything for the next thing. And that is usually a good thing. It's actually one of Apple's strengths.
Well, then why won't they ditch iTunes for the next thing?
Well, I actually called them out on this, Brian. We've come to see that the original design of iTunes was that the sidebar is a collection of things. It's a collection of your libraries. It's a collection of your devices, which are libraries in themselves. It's a collection of the iTunes store, which is a big library of stuff for sale, and it's a collection of your playlists. So the sidebar was a perfect place to put collections of things.
It's a concept that works really, really well. You know, it worked with the very first iTunes. It works with mail. It works with a lot of different apps. It was the guys that made a Sound Jam that came up with it, right? That whole sidebar, you know, framed thing was a Sound Jam innovation. And when those guys were hired by Apple and they went on to make iTunes, that was a great innovation. And I'm not wanting the sidebar to stick around just because it's been there. I'm wanting it to stick around until it can be replaced by something better. And Apple has not done that.
The logic of the app doesn't seem to be apparent. Okay, so you've eliminated libraries in the store from the sidebar. So what's remaining in the sidebar? Playlists. Okay, let's agree to that for the sake of argument for a second. The sidebar is where you put playlists. And then you connect an iOS device. Boom. And all of a sudden, the tabs are gone, and the sidebar becomes a place where you have your lists of items to sync. Completely orthogonal to what you were trying to do before. It's crazy.
Is that where you fold up the paper into the...
Yes, where you make little butterflies and swans.
And birds and yes. Cranes and things.
Yes.
Okay.
We totally lost John on that one. Well, John, the thing with having the playlists and devices in the sidebar seems to me to be sort of like the mashup of content that gets in Finder window sidebars. And so at least it was familiar because people knew what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was used in a lot of different places. And again, it's a concept that really works. I'm okay with it going away, but only when it can be replaced by something that's better.
That's a good point, Brian. I'm not tied to a sidebar forever. I just want Apple to be consistent, think it through.
Yeah, if it's going to go away, it needs to be replaced with something better. And Apple has not done that. Apple has replaced it with something that is not better. iTunes 12 is not better. iTunes 11 was a mess. Like one of the things you didn't talk very much about was just how unpleasant it is trying to sort through your music and how inconsistent things can be when you're trying to sort through your music. And that started with iTunes 11. That's still a mess too. iTunes 10 was the last really good version of iTunes, in my opinion.
Well, you know, at least iTunes 11 retained beautiful checkbox page to display your view options for your columns. And when you in iTunes 11, when you did view to view options, you got this nice little window with every column you could possibly want to display. And it comes up right away. And you look at it and you go, I instantly know what's going on here. I can see that what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be saying I want to show the album, the artist, the composer, the time, the year, and my rating. And you check those boxes. And then you do the same thing in iTunes 12, and you get this funny little pop-up that is ugly, abstract, and hard to digest. And it's a really jarring thing. It's one of the worst things about iTunes 12. And then you sit there and you look at it and you look at it and you go, oh, this is what I got to do. And then I got to do a checkbox. I got to get this pop-up and then check the ones I want. It seems like everything that was, for some reason, strong and logical, even though you said, as you said, iTunes 11 was on a downhill slide from 10, 11 still retained a clarity and a beauty that made it a usable, friendly app.
Yeah, you could turn the sidebar back on, for instance. It was off by default, but you could turn it back on.
Yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, iTunes 12, all of a sudden, there's these jarring things like, what's going on here? Where am I? Where's the rest of my libraries? Where is my sidebar? How do I get that turned on? What's going on with the view options? Why can't I simply just check a box and I want to show the times I've listened to this song? It is crazy.
You know, I'm going to include a link to the quick tip that I wrote showing how to make iTunes 12 work a little bit more like iTunes 11, complete with the sidebar.
Oh, it's in there.
Stuff.
It's in there. I linked to it.
Oh, it's yeah. Oh, I'll have a link to it, of course, but I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the real question here is how did this happen? What you know, what's the goal here? Like, we know that Apple was willing to ditch functionality with iMovie, for instance, right? When it came to developing a new paradigm for iMovie, Apple just did it. And, you know, with iMovie and Final Cut Pro, if I remember correctly, there was all kinds of functionality that was missing at first. And then Apple basically started bringing that functionality back in subsequent updates as, you know, the company continued to work on it. Is that what's going on here? Is this just, you know...
That was my first thought, Brian. The first time I saw iTunes 12, I thought, maybe this is a prelude to factoring the code.
You see, I thought that's what iTunes 11 was going to be. And now we have iTunes 12, which is more the downhill slide from 11.
I no longer think it's a prelude to factoring the code. I think it's just somebody, the iTunes product manager got under stress, got delayed, got pushed around by agenda, had orders to remove the skeuomorphism, ended up wrapped around the axle with time deadlines, and had some side ideas that they wanted to implement, and the whole thing just kind of fell apart because of a lack of leadership and vision.
I feel very, very compelled to say right here, right now, that we are not being change resistant. I think that all of us love the way Yosemite looks, that all of us love the new flat thing that Apple started with iOS 7. Yosemite to me is absolutely gorgeous. There are all kinds of changes in Yosemite that I absolutely love. This just happens to be one that stands out as bad. And it's such a key piece of software. iTunes is, as you said, John, you know, our music is sacred. iTunes is a key piece of software for people who want to manage their iOS devices, but also want to manage their music.
Well, iTunes is so poorly written and implemented that on Windows, it's an application that keeps people from switching to the Mac.
It's true. Yeah. Windows users complain a lot about iTunes, and it's not because they're being whiny. It's because it is an awful experience on Windows. It's a resource hog in particular, and it's apparently it's buggy. So this is something that really, really needs serious attention from Apple.
It does. And I hope that this is not foreshadowing for what's to come with other Apple apps over time. Like, we haven't seen the Photos app for the Mac in the flesh yet. I hope that it doesn't take design guidelines from, or design cues from, iTunes. Because if it does, I guess we're going to have to figure out some other app to use for our photos.
It kind of seems likely, though.
I fear that you are right. I hope that you were wrong.
Yeah, I agree. So, again, getting back to the big question here. Apple is a big company now. Mm-hmm. It's a huge company by revenue. It's massive. Most companies that would be doing a third of what Apple would be doing would be probably 4, 5, 6, 10 times its size.
Brian, you're making me think of Lily Tomlin.
How so?
We're the phone company. We don't have to care.
I don't think that's the case, actually. I believe that Apple remains driven by passion. But as the company gets bigger and the resources at the top in particular get spread, but resources even at the engineering and design level get spread thin, you know, is iTunes 12 what we can expect from Apple going forward, as it were?
Yeah, I mentioned in the review I wanted to have an iTunes app that made me smile. But it was glorious in its beauty and ease of use. And I was starting to feel more and more offended that I didn't have that. Could it be that Apple's trying to... Well, you know, Apple prides itself. It has too much... I think Apple has too much integrity and too much history to come out with a bad app just to piss us off and to move us away from desktop music and maybe say, well, the only music player you need now is iCloud on your phone.
No, I don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's going on. I don't think that's true. I think it was just rushed incompetence. And I think from the comments I saw at the end of the article, most of the readers agreed this is a problem.
I don't think it's rushing. I think incompetence is, I'm not trying to be defensive here, but I don't think incompetence is the right word. I think it's bad ideas run amok.
Yeah, a lost vision, which is a problem because Apple's software is not there primarily to be a revenue generator. It's there to sell Macs.
Yeah, and iPhones.
And so if the software isn't good, then it's not going to facilitate the sale of hardware.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's interesting, and I kind of wish he could be here for this particular discussion. Dave was militantly angry about iTunes 12, and then he sort of started coming around.
I think he's in a coping phase where he needs to tell himself he's okay with it, and before long, he's not going to be happy with iTunes again.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Hey, we are out of time. So we're just going to have to wrap up.
All right.
Cool.
John, thank you for writing such a detailed and thoughtful review about iTunes 12 and for expressing what so many of us are feeling.
Hopefully I made a dent in the universe.
I certainly hope so. And Brian, thank you for being here and bringing your awesome insight as well.
Yep.
And thanks to Smile for being our sponsor this week. Everyone rocks. Indeed.